You know, after people tell you, you're not going to do this again. You can't do it. And then you go out there and do it. Okay. And while you're doing it, you know, you look around the room, you realize, man, this is freaking cool. People coming up to me, asking for autographs, people asking to take pictures with me and stuff like that. And that's when I realized that I'm just doing something I love, but I'm also having an impact on people around me. Okay. The championship belts, yeah, they're great, you know, but what really mattered was the moment. When they're playing your music and you're walking down to that cage, savor the moment, enjoy it. And I'll be honest with you, I think you'll be much more successful if you're enjoying it as opposed to focusing on the end result. I'm actually having a time of my life. You know, we just bought this big property in Virginia. We have 85 acres. We're building a family compound. Both my sons are building houses on the property. My one son just got married, and we're having our first grandkid. And it's kind of like the greatest thing about my life right now is just the pure enjoyment. Everything means so much more. I'm actually sitting back and enjoying it so much more. I enjoy competing more. I enjoy working more. The idea is, it's just that I've set my life up the way I want my life to be set up. And I'm focusing on maximizing the things I enjoy.
You're up, you're ready, and you're listening to the Brittany Mack Podcast. Everyone has a story, applying them to inspire the world weekly on Motivation Mondays. Here's your host, Brittany Mack.
Hello, everybody. Today we have lifelong vegan athlete, Mr. Phil Dunlap, with us today.
Hi, Brittany. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Introduce yourself to the audience, Mr. Phil.
Okay. My name is Phil Dunlap, and I'm a lifelong martial artist. I grew up doing the Burmese martial arts, and one of the things I actually did was I got very into competing. I had my first professional Burmese boxing match at 15 years old. I fought from 15 to 26. Broke my neck, had to take 10 years off to get medical clearance again. Then I fought from 37 to 42, retired again, got cancer in my late 40s. And then in my, at 53, I managed to beat cancer, and I came back and I started to do a lot of professional submission grappling and BJJ events.
Wow. So what type of cancer did you end up getting?
I had pancreatic cancer.
Okay. So, so you were able to come back to your career twice. Is that right?
Yes, and it looks like a third time. I've got a tumor in my neck that has to be removed, and I just turned 60, February 11th, and I was supposed to fight February 18th or compete February 18th, and I had to pull out because I have a tumor coming out in my neck. It's actually a submandibular salivary gland tumor. It's malignant, but the prognosis is good, and I plan on coming back again.
Well, yeah, they cannot hold you down because you are a fighter, literally, and you are a winner.
Well, it's life throws us obstacles every day, and all we can really do is, you know, we can't stop the obstacles from coming, but we can control the way we deal with them and how we react.
Absolutely. So, were you the founder of the fight team?
Yes. Basically, what happened is I grew up doing the Burmese martial arts, and my grandfather taught me. I had a very strange life. I grew up with my grandfather raising me, and he'd spent a lot of time in Burma, and my grandmother was Burmese. So it was a natural evolution for me to train. It was one of those things that for a lot of people, martial arts is a class, But for more for me, it was kind of like, you know, I got his attention and his love by training. So I became like, I trained obsessively. I loved training. And then in my 29 years old, after he passed away, I started teaching, and I've been teaching ever since.
So have you been able to teach anybody who's training now that we might know of?
Well, I've worked with a lot of amateur and professional fighters in both mixed martial arts and kickboxing. And like, you know, I've had the good fortune of being in Vegas to get to work out with a lot of guys. But it's one of those things where, you know, I've been fortunate. I've taught a lot of guys. Right now I'm in Lexington, Virginia. I'd lived in New York for about, you know, for most of my life, and then about 10 years in Vegas, and for the last year and a half, I've been in Lexington, Virginia, and I'm just starting a program down here, and I'm hoping to bring some, you know, some fighters to the big time from the Virginia area also.
That's amazing. And tell us about the awards that you've been able to accomplish.
Well, you know, I would say, you know, what I'm most proud of is winning titles in three weight classes in Burmese boxing. And I've won 9 world championships in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but they've been in a master's division. I joke around, the old man's division. You know, every 5 or 6 years they have a division. So, in other words, there's a division from 30 to 35, 35 to 35 to 40. So the idea is, you know, it makes it a little bit more fair in the competition. But I've won a number of Masters World Championships that I'm proud of. And it's one of those things, I just love competing. I'm most proud of the fact that I just keep going no matter what.
Yes. And you've competed all over the world. I know, all over the United States, in Japan, and more places. So where all have you competed?
Well, I did most of my competing in Burma. Since I did Lethwei, which is Burmese kickboxing, it's no rules kickboxing. I fought in Thailand. I fought in Laos, Cambodia, China, and Japan, along with the United States.
That's great. And I love the message that you're putting out there, and you fight against people that's half your age and people much younger than you. So how do you feel that you get to not only come back from these tragic events, but also compete with people that's way younger than you? How do you go about that?
It really does feel good to be my age and still feel like you're reasonably relevant in the sport, where you can go against good guys. Like, you know, I had a match against a guy who was 30 in Vegas not that long ago, and I won by footlock. And, you know, sometimes it's just nice to realize I'm twice the guy's age. And I was able to beat him. You know, it feels good to realize that, like, you know, my real battle isn't with my opponents. In other words, it's with Father Time. And I got to be honest with you, Father Time is undefeated. As far as I know, he's never lost. And the idea is, I just want him to sit back and say, that guy gave me a run for my money.
Yes. So what can people do in their daily lives to be able to feel as healthy as you are once we get older? What can we do to put ourselves in that position?
Well, I tell people all the time, when people ask me about age, you know, that saying age is just a number isn't really true, because, you know, your body does change as you age, and you can't avoid that. Okay, but a lot of things that we attribute to aging are lack of use and neglect. Mm-hmm. Okay, the idea is, if you eat right, okay, you take care of yourself, you prolong, you know, I'm not talking about the ideas. I don't care if I live to 80, 90, 100, okay? I care about, like, if I drop dead at 70, I want to still be able to do the things I love to do at 70. So for me, it's always about quality of life. And I'm a big one on, it's all about using it or losing it. If you don't maintain your body and you don't use it, you know, you're going to lose the ability to use it. Like, you know, most of the problems I suffer from with injuries are, let's say, not really age related, but more mileage related. In other words, just the sheer volume of fights, just the sheer volume of bumps and bruises that you take. And the idea is, your body slows down, but as you get older, you start to learn to listen to it. And like if you're totally exhausted, take a day off. But the idea is, I think the most important thing is to almost like, you go to work every day and you have a job, you're a parent, you take care of your kids, take care of your health the same way you do everything else.
Absolutely. So what are some foods that you would probably go towards, and what are some foods that you would try to stay away from if we want to build that healthy body for the long run?
Okay. Remember, I'm actually a vegan, and it's one of those ones that I'm kind of an odd vegan in that I don't recommend going vegan to anybody, because first of all, it's difficult. You need a very solid nutritional background in order to make sure you eat correctly. And like I see a lot of people actually go vegan and their health deteriorates. So I'm a big one on just advocating, a balanced diet, quality foods. Like, if you're going to eat meat, chicken, beef, whatever, okay, eat better quality foods. In other words, don't look at food as a comfort. Look at food as fuel. Okay, so whether you're like on a keto diet, a balanced diet of, let's say, 30-40-30, any diet plan or nutrition plan you're going on, make it a lifestyle and look at it as it's fuel for your activity. It's fuel for your life, okay? As opposed to sitting on a couch at night and having a bag of chips. Maybe have fruit. Just make better choices with your diet. And like I always tell people, like when I have fighters training for fights and they have to watch their weight, I always tell them, don't turn it into the Bataan death march where there's no hope, where you can't have anything to eat. Think to yourself that you'll eat right for 2 weeks, and that second Saturday, if pizza is your thing, if a cheeseburger is your thing, go have yourself a whopping cheeseburger on Saturday night and get back to the diet plan on Sunday. It's one of those things that you also have to enjoy yourself, but your health is a big key to enjoying yourself, because once your health goes, you have nothing else.
Yes, health is wealth. Because if you're not here
The Dalai Lama actually made a comment that was kind of funny one time, and he was talking about how bizarre we are, humans, in that we work our whole lives to acquire things, acquire money, acquire this, acquire that. And at the end of our lives, we'll trade in everything we acquired for an extra year. And it really is fascinating that we do that instead of paying attention to it while we're living. Okay, it's almost like we trade our life away, and then we're willing to trade everything we traded our life away for just to get another year back. It is kind of a contradiction that humans are unique with.
Yes, it was one. I watched a video where somebody said, how would you feel if someone was to give you several million dollars right now? And they told them how exactly they would feel. And then the same person said, okay, how would you feel if you got that amount of money for this to be your last day living? And that was like, okay, no, they wouldn't take it. They would feel much better living longer. So they was like, okay, so why don't you wake up every day having that feeling? Because you prefer this over that. So that means this is more valuable. So you have something that's more valuable than that you wake up to every day. And that was a huge aha moment. And I was like, wow. And it really helps me to think about that every day when I wake up.
Well, for me, a lot of it was, I was 48 and I was sitting in the doctor's parking lot, and he told me, he basically told me at six to nine months. And I remember sitting in that parking lot, and it was like the whole world closed in on me. And I realized that everything that maybe I had held important was meaningless, like the car, the house, possessions. Okay, I realized the only thing we really have in life is, number one, our family. Number two, our memories. And number three, the lives we impact. Okay, so that basically when I got my health back, you know, I was really focused on number one, my family. Number two, making more memories. That's why I started competing again. I started water skiing, windsurfing, the things I used to do and love. You know, why wasn't I doing those anymore? And then for about 8 years in Vegas, I was teaching for free because number one, I wanted to give back to the community. But number two, you know, it helps you impact lives. And like, if I want to help people, like having me at a food kitchen is kind of useless because I can't cook. Okay. But if I'm teaching people martial arts, I can make their life better that way. Okay. By doing something I'm good at and something I enjoy. So when you really look at it, you know, life is about our interaction with people and the things we do. It's not about, you know, like I always joke around that, you know, when I die, I want to be able to go out having done the most, not having the most.
That's big. I love that. 'Cause life is all about what you put into it. So yes.
Exactly. In other words, we're all going to have a certain amount of time. And when you look at it in the scheme of things, it's not a lot. You know, when you just take a look at the way our country alone, you know, our country as a country started in the 1700s. Okay, it's been like 400 years. You know, then that's just a drop in time. Okay, the time we spend on the earth is so insignificant that we might as well make the most of it while we're here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know you are big with giving back to the community. And a way that you do that is by you run free classes to the general public for training. And that's through the, fight team that you have?
Yes. It's one of those things where, I run a financial business. So I don't need the money from the martial arts. And martial arts really is not a great business model. You don't make a lot of money doing it. And I'm one of those people that I believe the lessons you learn in training, especially fight training, the lessons you learn, when you apply them to your life, they give you the keys to success. Like, I'm successful in my life because of my training. You know, not because, like, you know, I'm super smart, not because of anything like that. You know, I was able to apply the lessons I learned, the hard work, the perseverance, the mental toughness. I was able to apply that to other things in my life and become successful. If you work hard, you can be successful in your career, you can be successful in school, you can be successful in your relationships. Take you know, male-female relationships. If you have a girlfriend, like, and I'm talking from a guy's perspective, okay, and I expect it to be a one-way street, okay, I won't have a girlfriend very long. But the idea is, if I make sure she gets what she needs out of the relationship, and I work a little bit on that, I'll get so much more out of the relationship too. So I tell people, the lessons you learn in training, or basically, like, even in sports in general, can be applied to the rest of your life. And, you know, when I was out in Vegas especially, I had a lot of people that really didn't have a lot of money. And one of the things about fighters in general, remember, you get a lot of guys that, you know, either they're coming out of high school, or maybe they didn't even graduate from high school. And, you know, they kind of come from a school of hard knocks, okay? And they're in a position where they're thinking to themselves, okay, I got to get a car, I got to get a place to live, you know, maybe have a girlfriend, whatever. Okay, they don't have, like, some of these schools are charging a couple hundred bucks a month. Okay, they don't have that type of money to spend on lessons. Okay. So the idea is, you know, it's almost like something, you know, the opportunity's cut off for them. And, you know, by teaching for free, you know, I was able to help people that normally wouldn't be able to afford it. And you'd be surprised at how many of them, in other words, they maybe never really had more than three or four fights, but they became successful in their life because of what they learned fighting. And sometimes, especially when you have a kid that maybe from is a tough background, nobody ever told him he could succeed before. And sometimes all it takes is one person believing in you. You know, telling you, you can do this. You can be successful. Like, you know, I grew up, you know, in the school of hard knocks. And I always tell people, if somebody tells you you're a dog enough, you start to bark. If somebody tells you you're a failure and you can't succeed enough, you give up, okay? Where somebody comes along and says, hey, listen, I believe in you. You can do this. And it shows you how to do it. Because I'm a big believer, if I can do it, I can show you how to do it. If I can show you how to do it, now you have the option of, like, as a coach or as a mentor, as a role model, what we do is we lay out a roadmap. You know, we lay out a guide. And now that person has the choice of either following it or not following it. That's up to them. But if they follow it, I'm a big one on a concept called precision modeling. If you want to be successful at something, find somebody who's already successful at it and basically model what they do. And it will cut down on the trial and error period you go through. It's like joining a gym. If you join a fitness gym and you get a personal trainer, you'll learn how to do the exercises right early. That way you don't spend a year doing exercises the wrong way.
Is there any advice you have for anybody who constantly have huge roadblocks? Because I know you've had a lot of things that some people probably would have gave up a long time ago. So if anybody is having roadblocks, what is your advice to them?
Well, I always say there's several things. I'm fortunate and I'm probably, and it can backfire on me too, but I'm one of the most stubborn people in the world. Okay. In other words, like somebody tells me I can't do something. Oh, no. You can't do it. Watch me do it. You know, in other words, I believe I'm capable of doing anything I set my mind to. And I believe, you know, that is the greatest attribute a person can have, is that positive mental attitude that you can do this. Okay, obstacles are going to get in your way. The only thing you can do is control how you deal with them. Look at an obstacle, like when an obstacle hits me, it's kind of like, number one, how do I get around it? How do I get past it? What do I do to get it out of my way? And we're constantly getting at, you know, a salesperson is constantly getting objections. Okay, so they have to figure out, how do I deal with this objection? So like everybody's life comes up with, you know, there's always going to be obstacles, you know, and one of the things that really, really throws me is the idea that, you know, people say, oh, it's not fair. Listen, nothing in life has ever been fair. You know, we're born. Okay, you know, some people are born pretty. Some people, like, you know, they were born ugly, you know. Some people were born smart. Some people weren't smart. We get dealt a hand of cards, and we have to play that hand of cards. And the only thing we can do is accept the cards we've got and do the best we can with them. And I always tell people that the greatest thing you can do is sit back. Do I really want this? Come up with a plan on how to get there. Then follow the plan. And if it's not working, go back and look at the plan. Is it a problem with the plan? Or am I the problem? Do I have to change something about myself? And the idea is, it's one of those things, it gives you a roadmap to follow, because most people run around blindly trying to do things. And they're almost destined to fail. And one of the things I always tell people is, there's a quitter's mentality. The first time you give up on something, it becomes easier and easier every time afterwards. Mm-hmm. So before you give up on something, always think to yourself, is it something you really want? The idea is, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving up on something. Like, you know, for the sake of argument, guy comes into a fight gym, he wants to learn how to fight. He doesn't like getting hit. Well, I can see him not wanting to come to the fight gym anymore. He doesn't like getting hit. Okay, but if getting hit doesn't bother you that much, do you stop coming in because you'd rather watch TV on Tuesday night? Do you not come in on Friday because you wanted to go out drinking with your buddies? Okay, so the idea a lot of times is one thing if you tried it and you decided, hey, this just isn't for me. You know, that's adult decision making. But if you give up because it's hard, you know, everything in life is hard. Nothing's supposed to be easy. Come on, look at when you watch these survival shows, when they drop somebody out in the middle of nowhere, they spend their whole day just trying to build shelter and eat. Now that's hard.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And
like, I think our ancestors had it way harder than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We don't have to go out and hunt like they did many years ago.
Right. And it's kind of like, you know, we you know, and listen, I'm not saying life is easy. But life is easier than it was when you're like, because I spent a lot of time in areas like Burma where people are, you know, they're fighting for survival. You know, it's a different mindset. It's a different place. And then once you've seen enough of that, once you've seen how hard some people really have it, it makes you more appreciative of the opportunities you do have.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And if everything came so easy, we would take it for granted. So that's another good reason why we should just embrace the challenges of life.
Exactly. In other words, and the idea is, you know, it's your life. You know, there's one thing I'm always big on. It's your life. You might as well live it. You know, if I live 70 years, I want to live 70 years. I don't want to spend 70 years, you know, watching Netflix, watching other people live.
Exactly. Is there any advice you would like to give to people? For example, like, I think his name is T.O. or something like that. It's a football player. It is a football player who has retired, but he's trying to come back to the sport. And a lot of people were telling him that, like, why would you do that? It's dangerous. You got your bag. Live life. Enjoy life. Don't try to go back to the, you know, thing.
But what if that's what you enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like I actually at 54 years old, I got invited to it was a big professional event. It was up in Portland. It's the Submission Underground. It's run by the UFC fighter Chael Sonnen. And I'll never forget, I got in the cage, and you know, now I'm 54 years old. I get in the cage, crowd's going nuts. I'm fighting a 30-year-old. And it's kind of like, you know, like, you know, everybody kind of roots for the old guy. It makes them feel like maybe they could get in there too. And it's one of those things. I remember getting in that cage, and it was just like an overwhelming thought suddenly. Man, how great is it that somebody paid me money, flew me up here to do this, okay, at my age? In other words, like I felt like I'm the luckiest man in the world. And I'll be honest with you, for me, I'm addicted to that moment when I'm standing across from somebody. And the ref looks at me and says, are you ready? And then looks at him and says, are you ready? And then we lock up. Okay, that for me, that moment is just so pure. The world fades away. Everything feels like I'm doing what I was made to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like when people ask me with all the injuries, with this, with that, you know, why would you put yourself through that? Because I love it. He may be coming back to football because he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, that's, you know, I've never played professional football, but getting in front of 60,000 people cheering and going crazy must be a rush.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like, I feel like you said, when it comes to this, that's what separates your calling, your passion, the thing you really love to do and you're made to do from money. Because if it was just about the money, okay, yeah, the arguments that people would have, I guess it would be easier for it to get through. But it's like, when it's your passion, something that you absolutely love and you were called to do, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I got the money, but I really love that. That's why I really want to do it. So, it makes all the difference.
Well, I joke around. The high point of my day is when I go to class. You know, I work all day. And don't get me wrong. I like my job. Okay, I'm good at my job. I really like my job. But the high point of my day is when I go to class and I get to play. Because that's what it is. I feel like a giant little kid. I get to play. And I have a saying I use all the time. We can only be young once, but we can be immature forever. Okay. And I honestly believe a large part of people's problems is they feel that when they grow up, they're supposed to stop almost like playing and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I believe you're supposed to enjoy life. Isn't that the purpose of being here?
Absolutely. Yep. You don't want to take yourself too seriously and just be so, you know, stern about everything and so serious about everything your whole entire life, because, you know, where's the fun in that?
Exactly. In other words, life is about, you know, enjoyment. You know, of course, you know, success is important. Doing the right thing is important. But you also have to have outlets. In other words, it's kind of like, you know, I tend to be very, you know, I'm like hot and cold. In other words, I'm one of those people, I can get angry fast, but it takes a lot to get me angry, because I get beat up so much that I'm just happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get stressed when you're getting beat up every night.
Yeah. So were you ever, sometimes I wonder this, do you ever get worried, like, well, starting off, because I know you probably don't ever get this thought, but starting off as a kid, did you ever get worried about, like, the punches you're going to get from the fighters having to fight and just throw yourself into the ring? Did that ever just cross your mind? And
it was different for me. And, you know, I actually have CTE, which is it's a traumatic brain thing from, I have 119 professional fights, and I fought bare knuckle for so long that, like, you know, it's caused a little bit, I get spacey at times, and it's caused a little bit of damage. And, like, I joke around that the 10 years off to the broken neck may have been the best thing that ever happened to me, because it saved my brain. But at the same time, I never really, growing up training, you make friends with it. Like, you're always in some sort of pain or discomfort. So it's kind of like, it almost becomes like a friend. Okay, getting punched, how do I phrase this? I almost grew to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel alive.
Yeah. Okay. Because I always wanted to, you know, hear different perspectives on that. I was wondering, like, do they ever worry about getting punched?
I see it all the time in people coming in. I've always said, and yeah, I've always made the statement, every man should get punched in the face at least once. Okay, because, you know, sometimes it's funny. And remember, I've been doing this for a long time. I was in New York, and in other words, I've had a lot of guys come in that thought they were, you know, badass street fighters and stuff like that. You see them get punched in the face, they never come back. You know, they're not used to fighting, they're used to beating people up that can't fight. Suddenly they're coming into a room full of guys that fight for fun. Okay, so they're really out of their element. So they get punched and they realize they don't like it. Okay, whereas other people get punched and it's almost a cathartic experience because they realize they're not made of glass. You see a guy get hit and he's like, wait, it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always joke around, if you do kickboxing, like I joke with my son when somebody new comes in and asks about getting hit, I always have my son answer the question. I look at him and I go, Kyle, liver, leg, or head? Hit me in the face. Once you've eaten some good leg kicks and a couple liver shots, you'd much rather get punched in the face.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Yeah, it's a funny thing because it's one of the things like with jujitsu, we always say that it makes men realize that they're not as tough as they think they are. And women realize they're a lot stronger than they thought they were.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't really know too much of the different names of these different fighting sports. But it's one of these fighting sports that I see where the people will be so bloody, and I'll be like, what is this? And I wonder, but they get a lot of money and everything, and they keep going back to do it over and over again, but they be so bloody, and I don't get it. Basically, I don't get it. Could you help me understand?
It takes a different type of person. You know, some people just have it in them. Like Burmese boxing was no gloves, so there were a lot of cuts. Mixed martial arts has striking and grappling. There can be a lot of, you know, because of the smaller gloves, there can be a lot of cuts. And the idea is, you know, it's just something that, like, you know, it's like when you walk up to a $5 table at a casino, and you buy the $5 chips. Okay, that's table stakes. Okay, and if you're gonna fight, table stakes are these things could happen. Like I tell people, you know, you want to avoid the traumatic injuries, but things like broken noses, cuts, having your eye closed after the fight, but that's table stakes. It's gonna happen at some point. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I've had my nose broken 16 times, and it's one of those things that after a while, it just doesn't bother you.
So you just get stronger and stronger over time, and it makes you like a beast.
Yeah, kind of. It's like one of the things is I've been doing this so long. Like, you know, like I let people kick me in the legs, okay, because my legs don't feel anything anymore. You know, the idea is your body gets conditioned to what you're doing, and you get used to it. It's like anything else. Like, yeah, I joked around one time in one of the Terminator movies. The kid asks Arnold Schwarzenegger, do you feel pain? And he turns around and says, I feel an impulse that you might call pain. And like, you know, it's kind of like everybody's pain tolerance is different. And then what happens is when you train, like, you know, what hurt a guy, what bothered a guy when he first comes in training, 3 months later, it doesn't bother him anymore. Okay, and then you see guys when I first come in and they're kicking, they get big bruises on their shin. Then a year later, there's no more bruises. Your body gets used to what you do. It's like working out. Mm-hmm. You start lifting, your body starts growing, you get bigger, you get stronger, your body gets used to working out. And basically your body is adapting to the pressures you put on it. And the same thing, honestly, when you go to school. When you're learning, your brain is doing the same thing. You're putting your brain in uncomfortable situations, and it's adapting, and you're learning. You know, same thing with physical things, okay? And the idea is, you know, it's growth, whether you know, it's, and that's one of the things that I love about, like, the idea of humans. In other words, we can grow in so many ways. We can grow mentally, we can grow physically, we can grow spiritually. The idea is, you know, we have all these aspects that we can continue to work on and grow. And then things change. Like for me as an athlete, as I get older, I have to adapt to the changes in my body, which actually makes it more fun. Sometimes I feel like I'm relearning things because my body doesn't work the same.
Yes. Well, I have learned a whole lot today. Is there anything else you would like to tell the audience?
Listen, I'd like to tell anybody listening is don't give up on your dreams. Okay, people dream. We all go to sleep at night or whatever, and we dream. Or we have dreams. We have things we want to do. We have places we want to go. You know, we may have people we want to meet. Okay, the idea is never give up on that. Make it happen. That's what life is all about, those memories. Nobody can ever take the things you do or you accomplish away from you. In other words, it's like between you and I, everybody in the world has critics, haters, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. People can say whatever they want about me. Okay, let's say as an athlete, you say, oh, he sucks. But you can't deny what I accomplished. Okay, and that's what I'm talking about. The things we do, the things we accomplish, the things we learn. Keep dreaming, keep chasing those dreams, okay? And never give up on trying to better yourself and put yourself in a better position, because once you do, you know, like I always tell people, it's not over till you say it's over.
Absolutely. And having accomplished so much, how has your life changed, and what do you get to do now that you have accomplished great things and still are accomplishing great things?
honestly, what's so funny about it is I joke around, like I'm 60, I just turned 60, and I'm actually having a time of my life. You know, we just bought this big property in Virginia. We have 85 acres. We're building a family compound. Both my sons are building houses on the property. My one son just got married, and we're having our first grandkid. And it's kind of like the greatest thing about my life right now is just the pure enjoyment. Everything means so much more. I'm actually sitting back and enjoying it so much more. I enjoy competing more. I enjoy working more. The idea is, it's just that, like, I've set my life up the way I want my life to be set up. And I'm focusing on maximizing the things I enjoy. And that's really the greatest, you know, I would say my greatest accomplishment is I've hit an age where, you know, most people look back on their early life and they wish they could go back. I've actually hit an age where I'm having the time of my life.
Yes. Looking back over your career, what are you proud of most in your decisions that has gotten you where you're at now?
I would probably say I'm proudest of what I've accomplished later in life. In other words, coming back to grappling, beating cancer, you know, coming back to the sport. Okay. I think I'm proudest of that, along with the people I've helped along the way. I'm very proud of how well some of the people I've taught have improved their life. And I'll be honest with you, I'll also add my biggest regret. And I tell my guys this all the time when they're getting ready for a fight and when they're going out there. I wish I had focused more on the process when I was younger, enjoying the process and not the goal. Mm-hmm. The wins and losses are meaningless. Okay, the championship belts, yeah, they're great, you know, but what really mattered was the moment. I wish I had spent more time enjoying the moment.
Absolutely. I'm taking it all in.
Yeah, because like a lot of us, we get so focused on our goals that we're so focused on getting where we want to go that we don't enjoy the experience. And that's one of the things I try to do with all my students now. You know, dude, you don't know. You could get hit by a car. This could be the last time you do it. You could get hurt. This might be the last time you do it. So, man, when they're playing your music and you're walking down to that cage, savor the moment. Enjoy it. And I'll be honest with you, I think you'll be much more successful if you're enjoying it as opposed to focusing on the end result. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be honest with you, so many, you know, between 119 pro fights, and I probably have, you know, since I turned 53, I have over 250 grappling matches. And like I tried to tell somebody, the wins and losses, they fade. You know, some of them are memorable, some of them fade. You know, they blur together. Okay, but one thing that's remained constant, especially in this older go-round, is just that feeling of pure being lucky and fortunate.
Yes.
You know, after people tell you, you're not going to do this again, you can't do it, and then you go out there and do it, okay? And while you're doing it, you know, you look around the room, you realize, man, this is freaking cool. I'm being live streamed on the internet. There's 4,000 people in this building watching me. Okay, and you know, there was funny. I lost a match one time, and this was at Submission Underground up in Portland. I hurt my shoulder really bad, and I thought I was done. But it took me an hour and a half to get out of the building with people coming up to me asking for autographs, people asking to take pictures with me, and stuff like that. And that's when I realized that I'm just doing something I love, but I'm also having an impact on people around me. In other words, like, you know, the 35-year-old guy that thought he was too old to train sees me competing, and all of a sudden he says to himself, hey, I can train. You know, and that's one of the things I always try to tell people. Probably the most lasting thing we can have is our impact on other people. Because, you know, when you look at it, you know, and I actually saw something, and it kind of frustrated me a little bit. I saw there were man in the street interviews years ago in New York City. They were walking up to random people on the street and asking them if they knew different people. You know, one of the people was Michael Jordan. Everybody knew who Michael Jordan was. Okay, everybody knew who, or most people knew who Babe Ruth was. There were a couple actors and actresses. Everybody knew who they were. Okay, then they started to ask about a couple presidents. Well, everybody knew who today's president was. Kind of everybody knew who Abe Lincoln was. A couple presidents they didn't. And then somebody mentioned Jonas Salk. Not a single person knew who Jonas Salk was. The man cured polio, a disease that was killing millions of people every year. And 30 years later, nobody knew who he was. And I actually found that sad because he had more impact on the world. Listen, I'm a huge basketball fan, and Michael Jordan's one of the best basketball players. I think he's the best I've ever seen. But it's kind of like, I'm sorry, Jonas Salk did more for the human race than Michael Jordan did. And it's kind of, I thought it was kind of sad, but that is what we have, the lives we impact. It's like, I realized that there's millions of people alive because he lived. And I think that's an incredible gift, even if people don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, it's always good to make an impact on the world and give back, because, you know, giving to the universe and giving out to people, whatever you put out into the universe, it comes back to you. So doing good and giving good and helping a lot of people, it definitely helps you. So I'm sure.
Listen, I do it for selfish reasons. I feel better about myself when I do it. You know, listen, in life, even nice people tend to do things because it makes them feel a certain way. When I help people, it makes me feel good about me. That's why I do it. And like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm one of those people, I'm brutally honest with myself. I think one of the greatest skills we can have is to look at ourselves and see who we really are. Okay. And acknowledge that, like, you know, hey, I help people because it's who I am. I feel good about myself helping people, and I like to feel good about myself, so I do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I'm sure helping people, it allows those other people to feel great as well. Just putting smiles on everybody else's face.
Yeah, people always ask me, you know, what can I do for you in return? And I'm always like, pay it forward. You know, if you find some kid, like, you know, if you're a 20-year-old guy and I'm helping you, 15 years from now, help a 20-year-old kid who's in trouble. Help him find his way. And you'll have paid me back tenfold. Because I'll be gone, and somebody's life will be better because I helped you.
Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Honestly, I'm a big one. And, you know, it's kind of like, I know everybody in the world now has all these big beliefs that are going to change the world and everything. I'm a big believer in change the world around you. Make the people you deal with on a daily basis, make their lives better. Okay, and if we all do that, the world becomes a better place. You know, we honestly, greater minds than mine have tried to solve the world's problems. Okay, the world's had problems since it started. It's gonna have problems when I'm gone. But the only thing we can really do is help those around us. Because if everybody helps those around them, the world gets better because of that.
Most definitely. Yep. And I feel like also, if you can't make the people's lives around you better and they just can't make yours better, find a new group and, you know, try that in that group.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was awesome having you here. I learned a lot.
Great. And thanks for having me on.
And do you have anywhere you would like the listeners to find you at?
They can look me up on social media by my name, Phil Dunlap, P-H-I-L-D-U-N-L-A-P. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm pretty easy to find.